Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Now, my message title is called, What on Earth Are You Thinking About? You like that? So today I want to speak about what thoughts we're actually thinking, because what consumes our mind will control our thoughts, yeah? I mean, sorry, we'll control our lives. What consumes our mind will control our lives. All you have to do is look at television advertising. Now, I've got three beautiful children. I've got a seven-year-old, nearly eight. I've got a five-year-old and a two-year-old. And every single time I was pregnant, I don't know about the pregnant women in this house, but I craved crazy things, especially sweet things. And many times, Brendan, my husband, and I would be sitting on the couch and an ad would come on the television about a chocolate ice cream sundae from Macca's, right? So we're sitting there, this ad comes on, and I just like need that ice cream. So I'm looking at my husband, I'm doing the whole, you know, the puppy dog phase, like, how much do you love me, honey? Can you go get me an ice cream? It might be 9 o'clock at night, but you know what? My husband, he's a good man, and he'll always be up for a Macca's run, won't you, honey? And he would go and get me the ice cream. But can I tell you that all it takes is for us just to see an image, think about that image until it consumes our thoughts, and then that's going to dictate the course of our life. It's going to dictate history. So now I ate an ice cream that I probably didn't need. Amen? So what consumes our thinking controls our life. Can we go there this morning? All right, let me pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, God, we welcome you here this morning. God, we love you. We just pray, God, that today you would open our eyes, Father God, to the truth of your word, that what consumes our mind will control our lives, Lord, that you would help us and sink this word deep into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So the scripture that I'm speaking from today is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, and we'll skip down to verse 10. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me? It'll be up on the screens. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So first, Paul is addressing the Colossians' thinking. Then if we skip down to verse 10, Paul actually, in between this verse and verse 10, he starts talking about the Colossians' behavior. And then he says this, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like Him. So when Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians, he's writing in response to hearing that there's all this false teaching going on. So people have come in and they've kind of twisted the gospel of Jesus and they're starting to maybe believe some lies. Paul knows that what they begin to think, they will begin to believe, and then that will determine how they behave, right? Not only how they behave, but it could, in fact, actually determine their destiny. You know, our thoughts are so important. I've done a lot of research over the past few weeks, and I'm going to give you a few brain facts. Can I do that? Okay, brain information travels 432 kilometres an hour. We process an image that we have seen for as little as 13 milliseconds. That's less time than it takes for you to blink. So even just opening up your iPhone or your Samsung and opening up Instagram, seeing an image instantly, that's in your head. And that has the power to turn into a thought, into something that you believe, and then into actions. Crazy. Hey, 13 milliseconds. Your brain generates enough power for a low wattage LED. Oh, I wasn't that impressed with that. I mean, come on. but this I was. The brain's storage capacity is virtually unlimited. Your memory capacity, probably not mine, hey hun, probably not mine, but most people's memory capacity is a quadrillion. That's more than all the information on the internet combined. Crazy. Your thinking actually creates physical, what's called neural pathways in your brain. And that's why most of the thoughts that you have today will be the same thoughts that you had yesterday. Because once that pathway's been created, it's so much easier for your brain to think down that line again and again and again. You have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. Most of them are negative. And most of them are the same that you had yesterday. You know, negative thoughts impact our health. This is the scariest, scariest information that I learned. Between 85 and 95% of every single illness, every single health issue, every mental, physical, emotional issue you have got going on in your life stems from your thought life. And this is scientifically proven. Okay, it's really intense, it's crazy. Our negative thoughts impact our emotional response. Do you know the number one fear is said to be the fear of public speaking? Most of you would rather die than public speak. It's true. I think dying is number five, but public speaking is number one. Yeah. So, like, how brave am I? I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she was like, you know what, Shelley? You just couldn't pay me enough to get up and speak. And this is what most people think, right? But for me, I enjoy it. It's exciting. I'm excited about it. So why for one person does it create anxiety and stress? The thoughts about something creates a hormone called cortisol, which is the stress hormone, right? But in another person, it creates adrenaline. It's exciting. Yeah, so why is that? It's not the situation. No situation can cause you anxiety. It's the way we think about it. You know, negative thinking is something that I've struggled with my whole life. The idea of positive thinking, the power of positive thinking, this is not something I grew up with. Not like today. I know that's kind of out there today, but you know, when I grew up, that wasn't how it was. I grew up in a home where my parents separated when I was 4 years old, and my mum struggled with manic depression her whole life since she was 18. I'm not sure what happened to make her think this way, but she was in and out of highs and lows. She'd lock herself away in her bedroom while me and my sister would basically fend for ourselves. Now, she was a good mum and she didn't neglect us. She taught us about the Lord. But that negativity and that depression had a real impact on my life as a little girl. And I started to see the world like something to not be enjoyed. I started to see a glass that was half empty, not half full. You know, I ended up taking this mindset into adulthood. My mum, eventually, the depression got the better of her and she took her life when I was 18. And this put me in a situation where I started to battle with insecurities in my life, feeling like no one loved me, like no one cared for me. And I just found myself just not expecting good things, yeah? And then I got married. And when I got married, It was like a mirror was held up against all my faults. Anyone in the house married this morning? Hands? Show of hands? Who knows that when you get married, it's like looking in a mirror? It's like for so long you've lived a certain way and then all of a sudden someone's got a problem with it. Within a couple of weeks, my husband informed me after getting married, "Shelley, why are you so negative?" And I was like, "Oh, really? I didn't think I was that negative." He'd be like, "Yeah, you're seeing things like, you're seeing the worst before it's even happened." And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it was like for the first time, I looked down and I saw what I was wearing my whole life without realizing it. Whew, that's a bit of a shock, yeah? When you realize that you've been doing life with this dirty, oversized, ill-fitting, horrible-looking, it's even a bit high-vis, you know, other people can see it from a mile away. You know what? I started the process then of trying to take this thing off, right? I started the process of just trying to think positive and to not be so negative, and I allowed Brennan to speak into my life and pull me up on it every time I did it. But then all it takes is for a situation to come and all of a sudden you're right back there, right? So what happened was I had my first baby. Okay, so I had my first baby, and who knows that having a first baby is the hardest thing you'll ever do, yeah? It's crazy. It's amazing what it does to your hormones, to your mind. And I started to not go out. I started to go, you know what, it's too hard. I'm just not going to go out today. I'm not going to go to mother's group. I'm not going to go to my mother's life group because I'm worried that she's going to scream the whole time, or she's not going to sleep, or I'm going to have to change dirty nappies 100 times. It's too hard. I can't be bothered. And I basically made up my mind about what I was going to do based upon what I thought might happen. And I told my husband this, and he said, "Shelley, you can't make your decisions about life based upon your negative thoughts." And I was like, whoa, okay. Then I'm in ministry and I'm worship leading, standing here in front of everybody, praising the Lord. And my thoughts looked a little something like this: I'm not good enough. So-and-so is better at this than me. They should be doing it, not me. Who am I to be here? You know, if only they knew, like, what was going on in my week, or, you know, I was standing here wearing this. It's crazy. Our thoughts, the things that consume our minds, is what's going to come out. It's inevitable. I realized that it was going to rob me of my calling, that I could only wear this for so long before I realized this just isn't appropriate. I can't be here doing this. And either I'm going to keep the shirt and walk away from my calling, or I needed to do something about it. Amen. You know, even God himself was tempted in his thinking. I was praying about this and I was like, "God, when was this a situation for you?" Yeah? And I found this. I could not believe my eyes when I saw this. It's a scripture in Matthew 16 where Jesus is talking to his disciples about what he's about to go through. So he's about to be arrested and killed, and that he would rise again on the third day. And Peter takes him aside and says, "Jesus, this is not going to happen to you." And then Jesus says this. Can we have it up on the screens? Peter says, "Surely this is not going to happen to you, Jesus." But Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." Now, Jesus isn't calling Peter Satan here. You've got to understand what happened in that moment was Satan, the devil, the enemy who's still out there is basically sitting on Jesus' shoulder having a go, right? He's whispering into his ear, surely you don't have to do that. Surely you're the Son of God. Maybe there's another way that you can save people from their sin. You don't need to do that. Aren't you beyond this? Aren't you seated with God at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms? You don't need to do this. What if Jesus gave in to those thoughts? Can you imagine? So my question for you this morning is, what are you thinking? What on earth are you thinking? Because what consumes your mind will control your life. What lies have you been believing? Can I go there this morning? I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, even right now, just to speak to you. And as you think about the lies, the things that are not from God that you're believing, things that are stopping you from doing what you want to do, what are they? Maybe it's the way you see yourself. Maybe you are serving in a ministry and you don't feel worthy. Maybe you've been asked to step up into a promotion at work and you feel like you can't do it. And the devil's speaking in your ear saying, you can't do this. You're not good enough. There's someone else out there. So we know we need to change, but can we really change what we think? The biggest, revelation that science has had in the last 400 years is a thing called neuroplasticity. This is the ability for your brain to be able to change. Right? Up until recently, it was believed that we were born with a set number of brain cells. It was believed that you had a set intelligence and that you could never change. But the truth today is that you can, that your brain is wired for change. Excuse me. London cab drivers, this is amazing. The cab drivers in London have to undergo this grueling test because there are just so many landmarks and streets in London. It often takes them about 2 years to complete the test or to pass the test. And the test is simply called the knowledge. Now, scientists have taken upon themselves to test the brain capacity of these London cab drivers, and they found that the memory center of their brains was much larger than the average person. You know, you get new brain cells every single morning. The Word of God says that His mercies are new every morning, and it's true. Those new brain cells, you can reprogram them. You can change. You can change from your glass half empty to be a glass half full. Isn't it amazing how science eventually catches up with the Word of God? I love it. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, God knew that we could take captive every thought. He knew. He didn't need science to tell Him that we can change, right? The Word of God says that you can change. We know that we can change, all right? But how do we do it? It's so hard. We have the answer. Colossians 3:10 tells us to put on our new nature. The answer of how is in Philippians 4:8-9. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable, on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learnt and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. This is jam-packed, yeah? This is saying, recognize what the thoughts are that are going on in your head. Think about what you are thinking about. And then number two, make the choice to trade it. And then number three is to practice. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then you will have peace, right? Everyone wants to be happy, yeah? Everyone wants to be full of joy. Nobody wants depression. Nobody wants anxiety. Nobody wants sickness in their body, am I right? What are you thinking about? You know, I went through a really rough breakup. Can anyone relate here? Anyone been through heartache? It is the worst, right? So I moved all the way from Cairns to Melbourne for a boy. Yes, I know, silly. And look, I just found myself in the lowest place, okay? You know, I had a very tough upbringing. My mum passed, you know, took her own life. I wasn't expecting great things from life, right? And then this guy breaks up with me. It was the first time anyone had broken up with me, and I just felt so insecure, so unloved, so unworthy, so like I had no future and no hope at the age of 22. Anyway, so I realized that I was in a pretty dark place. And I decided to go see a counselor, which is probably the best thing that I could have done, because this counselor was a Christian. And you know what she told me? She said, "Shelley, if you want to change the way you feel, you need to change what you're thinking about." And I said, "How do I do that? I don't know how to do that." And she said, "Well, practically, you need to get a scripture, a word from God, whatever that might be for you. It might change every day. It might be something new every week. Whatever it is, get a piece of paper, write it down and put it in your pocket. And every single time you think about this person, I want you to get that piece of paper out, read it out loud, and think about that." How good is that? It's not so good when you have to do it like 300 times a day. Excuse me. Yeah, so anyway, so I have this piece of paper. I thought, you know what have I got to lose? I'm at the lowest of my low. I don't want to go on depression medication. I need to figure out a way to get out of this, right? You guys have been there. I know you have. Everybody has. Everybody struggles with this. And I'm telling you, the Word of God has your answer. Every single time I had that thought about that person that would just... you understand, right? So every time I had that thought, I'd pull out my scripture. I'd have them everywhere. I'd have them on the back of my visor in my car. I'd have them in my bag, just so I wasn't without, right? So I would grab the scripture, and it was happening hundreds of times a day. I'm not kidding you. Embarrassing as it is, hundreds of times a day. But within a couple of weeks, it was maybe 100 times a day. And then within months, maybe 3 months, it was maybe 20 times a day, until after a year I realized, I haven't even thought about that. Guys, it is possible. Amen. Come on. You can do this. It takes practice. Your mind is not renewed overnight, right? It's not. You have to put in the work. If you want to change mindset, you have to put in the work. And if you don't, what consumes your mind will control your life. My word from God for you when I was praying about you as I was preparing for this message is, if you think what heaven thinks, it'll change everything. Colossians 3 verse 2, think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. You know, the word of God, it's an attack weapon. It's our only attack weapon. When you look at the armor of God in Romans, you got all this defense weaponry. You can go and read it. It's a lot of defense system, right? You put on your armor, but then you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that's all you've got to attack with, right? So this is what we're using. Thinking like heaven. When Paul is talking to the Colossians, he's not saying think about pearly gates. He's not saying think about angels flying around and worshiping God. He's talking about thinking about the reality of what Jesus has done for you and what that means for your life. It is thinking what God thinks about you. It's trusting that what he says is true. We either believe it or we don't. If you think you know the word of God and you don't actually believe it to the point where it becomes how you behave, how you live, then you don't really believe it. Let's be honest. Do we? And if we want to believe it, we have to meditate on it. We have to, instead of, you know, guys, I use the word meditate, but meditating is just rolling something around in your mind, chewing it over, over and over and over. And we all do it. Yes. If you worry, then you can meditate. Yes. If you're worrying about a situation over and over and over again, then you can think about the Word of God over and over and over again. It's thinking what God thinks. Two, it's trusting what God says. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are set on him because they trust you. And three, training ourselves to live it out. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he encourages them on what to think about. Are you feeling unloved? Well, God says you are loved. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, he says in Colossians 3:12. Do you feel like you have no purpose? He says you have purpose. Everything was created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. Are you feeling insecure? Well, he existed before everything else and he holds all creation together. Colossians 1:17. Are you feeling guilty or unworthy? Well, he says you're forgiven. That he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. You know, I used to feel so guilty. I gave my life to the Lord and I used to feel like I needed to keep asking for forgiveness. I felt like I wasn't always saved. I didn't know quite how that worked. If I kept sinning, then was I still saved? And you know what? The Word of God tells us that there is no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I just began to think about that and think about that. And I decided that that was the truth, not what I was feeling. That the Word of God was what was going to be what I built my life on. And I meditated on that and I thought about that and I spoke that over my life until it became a belief. Guys, this really works. We need to let these words rise up, yeah? If you don't know the Word of God, then you've got a long way to go, but it's okay because it's there. It's always been there. And you can get that Word and you can read it, meditate on it, and let it sink in. Guys, you have a choice. When you begin to think the things of heaven, the enemy loses his grip on your mind, yeah? The reality of heaven is this. God sent his son to die on the cross to take away the sin of the world. My sin, your sin, past, present, future. That is the reality of heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of God and he has all authority and he's given it to you and I so that we can be free. Amen? It's good. You know, I'm aware that the devil has planted lies, seeds of doubt, insecurity, fear, anxiety, worry. He's planted those things in our minds. And I just want, as the band comes forward, I just want us to maybe take a moment to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, the Holy Spirit won't yell in your ear. He'll just drop a word. He'll just drop a word into your spirit. You ask him, God, what thoughts do I need to change? What needs to be changed for me to go forward? For me to be all you want me to be? For me to be healed? for me to be whole, for me to not be living in fear all the time.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.